Hey, Tony, could you ask that Kyle guy from that newsletter about what he thinks about the collective bargaining ballot issue and also about teacher retirement benefits? He seems to know what he's talking about, and most of you media guys don't. Thanks so much. That's Bob from Okemosk. How's that for an email, Kyle?
Oh, that's great. Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate that compliment.
Well, I think I just took a hit there, but that's okay. We like to get you on. And so tell us about that teacher retirement that was passed by the House and the Senate yesterday.
Well, the teacher retirement package that passed yesterday was kind of a compromise among what the governor wanted and the House and the Senate. And what it does, I think is different, is that it's going to require an independent study to take a look at whether shifting teacher retirement to a defined contribution system is economically feasible and if it's a good idea, if it makes sense. Currently, there's a hybrid system where you have a pension element and you also have the defined contribution element, but it's structured in such a way that it heavily encourages people to go to the defined contribution, you know, 401k type option. And but the Senate would really like to just cut the cord on pension. They just think in the long term the costs are not sustainable, and they'd like to have an independent study to bear that out. Now, the administration has nothing against that. It's just that they feel like there's some stranded costs involved that the state just doesn't have money to pay for right now. You know, once you cut a pension system off, I mean, you know, there's no new people coming in to help support the system for the folks who are already in there, and the state's on the hook for that. So we got to make sure we've got the money there to pay for that before we go to a defined benefit system, and that's what this study's all about in this legislation that passed the Senate and the House yesterday and will be signed by the governor here within the next 2 weeks, I assume.
The collective bargaining petition was not certified. Tell us about this.
Yeah, and I'm not really surprised about that either. You know, the organized labor has really gotten together on this one and has put together a ballot proposal that would guarantee collective bargaining rights, you know, for citizens of Michigan. And as part of that, would roll back a lot of the changes that the governor and the Republican-led legislature has passed in the last 18 months and even prior. That would, you know, eliminate any limitations on collective bargaining. You know, a lot of what the governor and the legislature has done is put some things just off the table as far as collective bargaining. You can't bargain about how we collect your dues or your PAC contributions, or you can't bargain about, this or that, or, you know, how you get your paychecks. You know, it's just been a lot of nicks, and they're trying to roll that back. Well, what happened is the Attorney General put out an opinion. It's not a formal opinion, but in his opinion, there's just too many sections of law that is going to be changed. There's too many sections of the Constitution this impacts, and there's no way that the Board of Canvassers can craft a 100-word statement for the ballot with so many changes. It's just not possible. And so he, in his opinion, the Secretary of State and the Board of Canvassers can kick it off the ballot for that reason. And that's what the Board of Canvassers did yesterday. That Board of Canvassers is a completely political body. There's two Republicans, two Democrats. And so in issues that, you know, have some partisan, a partisan edge to it, you get these 2-2 decisions. And, you know, if there's a 2-2 vote, the motion fails because you don't have a majority. So the Board of Canvassers said, no, this collective bargaining proposal cannot make the ballot. This now is going to go to court. The unions filed a motion in Court of Appeals hours after this, and so they're going to fight it out in court. But I got to tell you, Tony, they've got an uphill battle here in the courts because there has been some precedent set. In 2006, we had the Reform Michigan Government Now ballot proposal. Was that 6 or 8? I'm going to get it mixed up now. But anyway, we have the Reform Michigan Government Now ballot proposal that the Democrats were secretly behind that changed all sorts of sections of the Constitution, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. There's just too many sections that you're changing. You can't put it all in 100 words. And so the answer is no on that, and I think that this is an argument that we're going to see here on this particular ballot proposal, which would be a huge loss to organize labor, who's already raised $8 million to get this thing passed. I mean, this thing was going to be the war of the worlds here with the unions and the business community, and this thing just may peter out before we even have the main event.
We're talking with Kyle Malin, who's the editor of the MIRS newsletter. Just go to MIRSnews.com. Kyle, for the state of Michigan, the Department of Community Health has a new leader. There's change there. Why is that, and who is it, and what do we know?
Yeah, the governor's initial appointment, Olga Dazzo, is leaving to go back to the private sector, and will be replaced by a familiar face with the Department of Community Health, Jim Hafeman, who was the DCH director under John Engler up until the time that he left office in 2002. Hafeman is kind of known in the capital as going to Iraq during the height of the Iraqi conflict or war to help put together a medical system for the Iraqi government post Saddam Hussein. And since then, he's been doing stuff internationally and done some consulting. And so to have him come back to lead that agency is a positive, I think, for the state of Michigan. He's just got a lot of experience, and it's a job that he really loved. I remember talking to him before he left, and I know that he really enjoyed that role as director of the Department of Community Health. And he's leaving a gig on the board of the Blue Cross Blue Shield board to do it. So, you know, he's committed and wants to return, and it's an exciting time really to return too with the Affordable Care Act and the impact on states and health exchanges. And I know those functions have been kind of shifted over to a different agency right now, but with him in charge and with some different other issues that the state's got to take on, I think he sees this as a challenge to take on. Olga Dazzo is going back to the private sector. She was at PHP before coming over to the administration, and probably a better fit for her there. And I think folks are excited about this change here within the administration.
Is the Bay Mills Casino going to reopen?
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. You know, the Bay Mills, and this is why this is important, Tony. I mean, this is a test case, and what we're talking about is the Bay Mills Indian Casino, or the Indian tribe there up in the UP, set up a new casino in Vanderbilt, which is about 100 miles south of the bridge. And they basically just set it up on their own land without much of anything, without any permits or anything. They just said, hey, we bought this land, and here's the building, and we're going to wheel in some slot machines, and here we go. It's a casino. Voila. You know, none of this regular rancor that you hear about the permits and so forth that you need from the federal government. Well, Bill Schuette came in there, or actually it was Mike Cox before Bill Schuette went in there and shut it down and said, well, you can't do this. You're violating this, that, and the other thing. Well, the Court of Appeals yesterday said, you know what? It's not the state's purview. If the federal government, who actually oversees Indian tribes and casinos, want to shut it down, that's their prerogative, but it's not the state's prerogative. So you know what? This thing can open up again. And why this is important, Tony, is it kind of gets to something here in Lansing with Virg Pinero's proposal to open up a casino downtown, because what they're doing is they're selling or giving or whatever the Indian tribe here land in trust over there by the city convention center. And so once the Indian tribe has that land in trust, based on this ruling, and if it stands and if the federal government doesn't want to do anything, you could say this is a win for that proposal, because the state, even if they don't like it, which they don't, can't do anything about it. So even though Snyder and Schuette don't want a casino to open in Lansing, this decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals says, you know what? Too bad.
A Washtenaw County child was infected with a strain of the swine flu after visiting some pigs at the Ingham County Fair. This is the first confirmed case of the illness in the state of Michigan. I'm wondering, should we be concerned? Thousands of people go through the Ingham County Fair.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not an expert on that particular issue, but I do know that they say for some reason kids are more susceptible to that virus than adults. And they just urge that after you go through the pig exhibits at fairs, or, you know, you're in contact with pigs, that the kids wash their hands thoroughly after they're done, or use the sanitizer or whatever. And I think those things are usually available at those fairs, at least they're at the ones that I've been to. And so it's just, you know, very, very highly stressed there that parents make sure their kids wash their hands when they go through those exhibits so they don't pick something like that up.
Only in the MERS newsletter do we go from politics to pigs in discussion.
But you know what? It's not a hard transition, is it?
All right, Kyle. So the legislation in the Senate and in the House will not be getting together until after the holiday. What can we look for political-wise from the Capitol?
Well, yeah, they're coming back September 11. That's going to be the next time that they come back. Now, when they come back, I think the focus, or I think our initial focus, is going to be on the House. What are they going to do with Snyder's proposal to develop a health care exchange here in Michigan? The House, the Republican House, has been so far very, very reluctant to do it. In fact, Snyder went into the Republican caucus yesterday to make the sell. Hey, we got $9.8 million in federal planning money on the table right now that we want to accept so we can kind of go down the road a little bit and see what kind of options we have available to us. And from all reports that I heard and talking with folks on the floor yesterday, there it seems like you made a pretty good sell, and there are folks that are listening, and they're not altogether against it. But, you know, the thing is that there's a very strong conservative voice in that caucus with Mike Shirky and Tom McMillan and Dave Agnew are very vocal and very much pressing against what they see as the state accepting Obamacare and embracing Obamacare. They just don't want it. And so, you know, it could be a matter of time yet before the House accepts the idea of having a health care exchange in Michigan. And then in the Senate, I think what we're going to be looking for here is, what is the Senate going to do with a plan for the city of Detroit to develop their own lighting authority? More than half of the streetlights in the city of Detroit are burned out or broken or something. And the city wants to develop some kind of independent authority that has its own, like, bonding power or borrowing power to come in and be developed to fix this problem, which obviously is a public safety concern. And so, but right now it's kind of tied up through an issue with the city's income tax, which rolled back unexpectedly from 2.5 to 2.4, 2.5 to 2.4. And the Democrats want to roll it back up to 2.5, and the Senate Majority Leader says, we don't raise taxes in this chamber, so too bad. So there's kind of a conflict there that needs to be resolved, though, because the city of Detroit does have a real problem there, and everybody realizes that we just got to get over that issue over what the tax rate's going to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another edition of Politics and Pigs with your host Kyle Malin and Tony Conley on 1320 WILS.
My pleasure, Tony.
All right, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate you.